Lord, show us, remind us, we pray tonight, of your grace and truth shown to us in Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, a personal question which you may feel a bit uneasy answering, especially at this late hour. How is your Christmas shopping getting on? I read the other day that Christmas shopping's been likened to a tumble dryer. You go round and round, get very hot, and when you get home, you realise you've been taken to the cleaners. Well, there's various battles we face at Christmas time, isn't it? Maybe a rush to do some shopping for children or grandchildren. But there are other battles as well. The battle of Christmas card writing, which I have not even yet started. The battle of the bulge. Another mince pie, another glass of red wine. The battle of commercialism. And then there's the battle of over-familiarity and the misunderstanding, because we're so used to readings we've had tonight. We forget what it all means. I wonder how are you doing in understanding Christmas? I want to shock you tonight by giving you three surprises from a reading which Peter Emms has just read to us. And the first surprise is this: the manger at Bethlehem was not the real beginning. Listen again to John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Sometimes people say, don't they, just like his father, as they peer in at a baby in a pram. But often we fail to realise that Jesus Christ is just like Almighty God. And John goes on and says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Next time you go outside on a clear night, it's quite clear tonight, in one direction I looked up earlier, look up at the stars scattered across the sky. Now the nearest star, the sun, weighs approximately 2,000 million, 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 million tons. Within our own galaxy, the Milky Way, there are approximately 100 billion stars. The nearest one to the sun is over 25 million, million miles away. That's quite big. It's only the start of creation. And Jesus Christ, not just the founder of Christianity, he's the founder, the creator of the universe. Through him all things are made, says John. And yet, amazingly, he's become a human being, been born as a baby into a feeding trough. Probably is there more animal onlookers than human onlookers. It's a staggering thought when you take in that actually the manger at Bethlehem was not the real beginning. And Christmas is like your landlord becoming your lodger. It's like the managing director applying to be the office boy. It's like Beethoven queuing up for tickets for his own concert. It's like the headmaster getting detention. It's like an outstanding architect living in a slum built by a rival. It's like Picasso learning to paint by numbers. That baby, Christians worship, because we know that the manger at Bethlehem was not the real beginning. Second surprise, the life of Jesus was not the real purpose. John 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God has made himself known by becoming one of us. And it isn't just to show us what he's like in our ignorance, which hides God from us. It's also because of the wrong things in our hearts, the sin and the evil, which push God out and those we live amongst. And we need not just God's revelation, we need His rescue, which the Bible calls salvation. And Jesus didn't just come, He came to die for our sins in our place, bearing the penalty of our sin, removing a barrier that we might know God. So that's actually why around the world tonight and tomorrow people take bread and wine, which reminds them of Christ's body broken and blood shed. And how strange that on His birthday we also remember His death day. How many of you have heard of A.S. Byatt? Have you read anything about A.S. Byatt? One or two hands going up. Won, I think, the Booker Prize some years ago. A.S. Byatt, the novelist, very able in lots of ways, but got it totally wrong. She said this: "I accept the Christmas story, but I reject the atonement, that is the cross. I don't need it. I don't want it." But you see, you can't have one without the other. You can't have a Christmas story without how it ends, with the death of Jesus on a cross. There's a story told about two tree decorations being pulled out of the attic. They'd had almost 11 and a half months in a rather dark, airless attic, an even darker and airless box. They'd been wrapped away carefully in cotton wool, and then they were pulled out in sort of early December, and the children of this household were hanging them up on the tree. And two of them had the cotton wool taken off, and the story goes that one said to the other, "Isn't it terrible, these human beings and Christmas? We have all that terrible Christmas music, the homes are so hot, all the noise, too much eating." And then they went on, and one said to the other, "I bet they didn't hang him on a bleeding tree." But of course they did. Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross for our rescue. And perhaps we say, as one of our family who phoned today said, I meant it in the right way, I think, he said, "Of course Christmas is so nice for children." And I hope it is. But actually, in particular, it's nice for people like me, and I guess you, who've turned our back on God. It's nice for sinners, because it gives us hope. That's the second surprise. Third surprise is this: it is the death of Jesus is not the real end. That great carol, "Not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by, we shall see him but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high." No one's ever seen God, John goes on and says, "but the one and only who's at the Father's side has made him known." His death wasn't the end, because he historically and physically rose from the dead. He reigns in glory, and one day we'll all stand before him, whether we want to or not. And Advent is a season looking forward not just to his birth, but to his return in glory. It's a wonderful thing to know that he offers light and life. And we need to work out whether we've received that ourselves personally. There's by the door some sort of postcards about the Christianity Explore course we run here in January. It's sort of Agnostics Anonymous. You aren't asked to pray or read aloud, but a chance to find out more about the relevance of Jesus for your life. Woman, have you heard about the Santa Syndrome? The Santa Syndrome is when you believe in Father Christmas, then you don't believe, and then you are, and I've reached that state in my own life now, I have two boys, and then looking around one or two of you, you move from believing, then don't believe, then you are, and then I guess a few of you might perhaps begin to look like Father Christmas. Age has taken its toll. And we love a baby, But so often we want to keep him as a baby. That's the Santa syndrome. And we can't do that. It's the one thing we can't do. The reading David read to us from Hebrews continues. And I guess I want to conclude. It says this about Jesus the Son. The foundations of the earth and heavens, they will perish. But you, Jesus, remain. They'll all wear out like a garment. You'll roll them up like a robe, like a garment, they'll be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Not surprising, he's risen from the dead. As the old carol puts it, and our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child, so dear and gentle, is our Lord in heaven above. And that offer to take us to the place where he is. Have you beheld his glory? Have you received his grace? The surprises of Christmas, which come to all of us. First surprise, the manger at Bethlehem is not the real beginning. Second, the life of Jesus is not the real purpose because he came to die. And the death of Jesus is not the real end because he's risen and reigns over history. May you have the best possible Christmas as you meet perhaps with family and friends over the next few days. Amen.